This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news.
There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Decision time for a nuke agreement. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. On this Tuesday, May 8th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump says he'll make an announcement today about whether the U.S. will remain in the Iran nuclear accord, a pact he's called the worst deal ever.
The attorney general for the state of New York abruptly resigned last night after four women came forward to accuse him of abuse.
Republicans in Indiana, Ohio, and West Virginia today are choosing Senate nominees who have highlighted their loyalty to President Trump.
And what tariffs on Chinese goods could mean for your new TV next holiday season.
So overall, they conclude prices of TVs could go up 4% for all TVs. Mm-hmm. For those from China, they could go up 23%. There are a lot of ifs, though. Do the manufacturers bear the brunt of those prices? Do the retailers? Do they spread the cost increase across a number of products?
Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Tangle on tariffs and TVs. He's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump is expected to announce his decision today whether or not he'll pull out of the Iran nuclear accord, an agreement that he has repeatedly bashed. But some European officials are holding out hope that Mr. Trump, after leaving the agreement, would move slowly to reimpose sanctions, which would leave more time for negotiations. Mr. Trump tweeted yesterday that he would announce his decision at 2 p.m. Eastern Time this afternoon. The message came as British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson made a last-minute appeal during an appearance on Fox News.
The president is right to see flaws in it, and he set a very reasonable challenge to the world. Was, look, Iran is behaving badly. Iran has a tendency to develop intercontinental ballistic missiles. We've got to stop that.
U.S. and European officials are at odds over the Trump administration's insistence that sanctions should automatically take effect 8 years from now if Iran begins to expand its capability to enrich uranium by installing more advanced centrifuges, as is now allowed to do under the agreement. A rising star in the Democratic Party has abruptly resigned from elected office over allegations he physically abused four women. New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman stepped down last night after an article in The New Yorker quoted two women who said Mr. Schneiderman choked and hit them and that they sought medical treatment. Two other women who spoke anonymously described similar incidents. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Mr. Schneiderman, who's 63, denied the allegations and said they were unrelated to his work as attorney general. Two of the women said he threatened to kill them if they broke up with him. One said he warned her he could have her followed and her phones tapped. Mr. Schneiderman referred to the slapping and choking incidents as role-playing. As the top law enforcement officer in the state of New York, he condemned Hollywood big shot Harvey Weinstein following allegations that he sexually assaulted women. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. When the New York Times and The New Yorker won Pulitzer Prizes last month for coverage of sexual harassment, by the way, Mr. Schneiderman issued a congratulatory tweet praising the brave women and men who spoke up about the harassment they endured at the hands of powerful men. Three people have been killed in a shooting outside Washington, D.C., where the suspect took his own life after he barricaded himself inside his home. Police say 41-year-old Christopher Snyder yesterday shot and killed the three adults inside a neighbor's house in Brookville, Maryland, about 25 miles north of the U.S. Capitol. Neighbors were understandably rattled.
It's so close to home. Like, I probably know that house. I probably know some of the people involved, and that's, like, that's really scary.
Montgomery County Police Chief Thomas Manger says Mr. Snyder's wife fled to the neighbor's house after he held her over the weekend in their own home across the street. Three adults, including Mr. Snyder's wife, escaped the shooting. After the shooting, police say Mr. Snyder went back to his house where he barricaded himself inside during an hours-long standoff with police. Authorities say he shot himself when police entered the home. Authorities were searching the home after he told police that he had explosives. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. During Small Business Month, Dell is offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. Republicans in three states today will choose Senate nominees who have each used their contentious primary campaigns to promote their loyalty to President Trump. In Indiana, West Virginia, and Ohio, all 2018 Senate battlegrounds that Mr. Trump won 2 years ago, GOP voters will pick candidates fighting over the president's base. A preview from Wall Street Journal national political reporter Janet Hook. Janet, what do we have?
Let's start with Indiana, where Joe Donnelly is a Democratic senator and widely considered to be one of the most, if not the most, vulnerable Democrat up for re-election next year.
Mm-hmm.
So there are three Republicans running against each other for the nomination. Two of them are House members, Congressman Todd Rokita and Luke Messer. And then the third candidate is a businessman and former state senator, Mike Braun. And it has the distinction of being possibly the most nasty, personal, ugly primary in the country. And it's all very personal. It's not especially ideological.
Wow.
So I think the Republicans, most of all, just want to get this over so they can stop attacking each other and start attacking the Democrats.
Who's the favorite?
Don't know. It's really hard to say. There hasn't been a lot of good public polling. And when I've talked to Republicans who've seen private polling, they say it's not clear because they all show a very large number, like a third of the people polled were undecided.
Oh, wow. And then how about in Ohio?
Well, in Ohio, the Republican primary isn't quite so suspenseful. In Ohio, it's Sherrod Brown is the Democratic incumbent who's up for re-election. And much as Ohio is a swing state, he's in a fairly strong position. I'd say of the three states we're talking about, it's the one where the Democrat is in the best position.
All right.
Still, there's a congressman running for the nomination who's likely to get it, who's been endorsed and pushed really hard by Donald Trump. And his name is Jim Renacci. There is another candidate who's running against him, a businessman who likes to call himself a Trumpy candidate because he also is a businessman. But his name is Mike Gibbons, and he doesn't have as much of a chance, just if only because Trump has really leaned in behind his opponent.
Got it. We're speaking with Janet Hook, national political reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Senate Primaries in Three States Feature Contentious GOP Races. And then what about West Virginia?
Well, West Virginia, that's where Joe Manchin is running for re-election. He's a very popular Democratic senator there, but it's a state that went overwhelmingly for Trump, so that's why he is considered vulnerable. But the primary has got to be the most wacky and interesting one because there are two kind of conventional Republicans running, and then there's Don Blankenship, who's a former coal company executive with a really troublesome record of having been put in prison for a year because of a mine disaster. The imprisonment was more about following safety rules. Anyway, the point is that the guy was put in prison. He's out and running for the Republican nomination against two kind of more conventional Republicans, Congressman Evan Jenkins and the state attorney general, Pat Morrissey.
Wow.
Now, the Republican leadership is really worried that if Blankenship wins, that it'll make it much harder for them to beat Joe Manchin. So there's been super PAC money put in to kind of discredit and undermine Blankenship's candidacy.
What might be learned from the results, say, Tuesday night or early Wednesday morning, whenever we figure this all out?
Well, one thing I've learned before even a single vote has been cast in these primaries is that the Republican Party now is Trump's party, because in every one of these primaries, the people competing against each other were all just wrapping themselves in Trump. When you're dealing with a primary, Republican primary electorate, it does not pay to be a never-Trumper. And so they were all, in Indiana in particular, there was a real contest of who is the Trumpiest person. And, you know, the attack ads often focused on, you know, how somebody betrayed Trump in this, that, or the other setting, especially during the presidential campaign.
Thanks, Janet. Wall Street Journal national political reporter Janet Hook. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
President Trump is preparing to tell the world whether he plans to follow through on his threat to pull out of the landmark nuclear accord with Iran and almost surely ensure its collapse. And there are no signs that European allies enlisted to fix the deal had persuaded him to preserve it. UK Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson, who came to the U.S. to meet with the administration, told Fox he believes the deal needs to be tweaked but shouldn't be discarded.
We got to push back on what Iran is doing in the region. We got to be tougher on Iran, and we got to fix the flaws in the deal. And one of the most important is that this sunset clause.
Most are convinced Trump will walk away from the deal. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, who held himself out as a champion of women and a liberal foil to President Trump, has resigned from office after four women accused him of physical violence during intimate encounters. It was a swift and stunning fall for a Democrat who had pledged to use the power of his office to hold others accountable for abusing their power. In accounts published in The New Yorker, the women described being violently slapped and choked, verbally abused and threatened by Schneiderman. Some also described him as a heavy drinker. President Trump is said to be increasingly irritated with lawyer Rudy Giuliani's frequently off-message media blitz, which has included muddying the waters on hush money paid to porn actress Stormy Daniels and making claims that could complicate the president's standing in the special counsel's Russia probe. Sources say Trump has begun questioning whether Giuliani, an old friend and former New York City mayor, should be sidelined from TV interviews. Voters in the heart of Trump country are ready to decide the fate of Don Blankenship, a brash West Virginia businessman and GOP outsider with a checkered past, who is testing the appeal of President Trump's outsider playbook in one of the nation's premier U.S. Senate contests. He's running today against Republican Congressman Evan Jenkins and current State Attorney General Patrick Morrissey. The race is said to be too close to call. We're starting to warm up a bit to electric cars. A new AAA survey finds 20% of us say our next vehicle will be electric, up from 15% last year. One big reason we're becoming more likely to consider buying an electric car is that we're less concerned about finding a place to charge it.
As sales of trucks and SUVs continue to soar.
Yeah.
Right, and companies like Ford stop selling sedans.
Yep.
Yeah, our next car will be electric. Sure, sure it will. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could join us. Prepare to pay more for your next television. The Trump administration's proposed tariffs on Chinese imports include a 25% levy on TVs and related components. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Tengel has a look at what it means for our entertainment purchases. Andrew, explain.
One of the bigger import items that would be subject to these tariffs is TVs and some related components. If there are like assemblies or receivers, et cetera, that are part of the final assembly into TVs. And a couple of trade groups, including the Consumer Technology Association, commissioned a report to try to measure how that would affect prices that consumers buy and also affect the amount of TVs that consumers buy if these tariffs go into effect and the tariffs are passed along to consumers. Now, there are a lot of ifs there, but we looked at this industry report that tries to measure how much the price of a TV in the U.S. could go up. So overall, they conclude prices of TVs could go up 4% for all TVs. Mm-hmm. For those from China, they could go up 23%. There are a lot of ifs, though. Do the manufacturers bear the brunt of those prices? Do the retailers, do they pass them on? Do they raise, spread the cost increase across a number of products? I have no idea.
All right, so you said retailers, in fact, are placing orders right now in time for the holidays. What's their thinking? Have they indicated one way or the other what they might do, or is there too much uncertainty?
Well, it sounds like at this point there's a lot of uncertainty and they're trying to plan out their holiday shipments. So they're trying to figure out how much to put on a boat, essentially. How much should they order from China or other suppliers? We'll have to wait and see how many they wind up getting shipped and whether or not the makers of these TVs could reroute their supply chains to go through countries that aren't subject to these tariffs.
Yeah. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal manufacturing reporter Andrew Tengel. He's written a piece entitled, What Tariffs Could Mean for Your New TV. this holiday season. I mean, could you, as a consumer, I guess, make the conscious decision to avoid TVs from China?
You could. It depends on if you're a consumer who goes by the TV's features, the price, whether or not you factor in the origin. So I guess we'll have to see what consumers wind up doing. I mean, TVs, I think, generally have been going down in price over the years. So if they all go up 4%, I guess the other question is whether or not people will actually notice, and whether or not a 4% price on price increase on a $600 TV is going to lead people to go buy something else.
Thanks, Andrew. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Tangle. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Tuesday, May 8th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Trump to decide today if the U.S. will stay in the Iran nuclear deal. The New York Attorney General resigns over abuse allegations by four women. Lava in Hawaii has now destroyed 35 structures, including 26 homes. Japanese pharmaceutical company Takeda is buying the Adderall maker Shire for $62 billion. Astros leadoff man George Springer went 6-for-6 last night. And the Tennessee cop who purchased groceries for a stranger at a Walmart. That story in about 20 minutes. How much does Apple know about you? The answer might surprise you. Following Facebook's acknowledgement that it had let a political ad targeting firm scrape the personal data of 87 million users, USA Today technology columnist Jefferson Graham checked the kind of personal data the social network and Google had gathered on him. Both had more information, reaching back longer than he had envisioned, so Apple was his next experiment. Jeff, what have you found?
Facebook and Google make the data available really easily. You go on their website, you click a button, you find it, you get it. In Facebook, within minutes, Google within hours. So I hunt and peck on the Apple privacy section of their website, found a button that said I could download the data that Apple had on me. I clicked the button, and then I forgot about it because next thing I knew, it was 8 days.
Wow.
And then I got it. And what was eye-opening was that there was so little there because Apple is in a totally different business than Google and Facebook. Google are about tracking everything you do every step of the way so they can sell advertising based on your interests. Apple wants to sell you hardware. Hmm. So the things that Apple tracked on me were how many times I got an Apple device fixed at an Apple store, what music and books and other downloads I had downloaded and bought, and timestamps of when I backed up the phone. That was about it. Jeez. Compared to Google, every search I'd ever done. Facebook had my entire contact list, addresses and phone numbers. They knew everywhere I'd been, every website I'd been to, and Apple didn't do any of that.
Wow. So I guess what took so long if Apple had such little data on you?
You know, I don't know. You know, I asked the question, they never answered. The Apple privacy gurus are actually, believe it or not, in Europe because privacy is taken more seriously there. And there are new rules going into effect at the end of the month in Europe where you basically are going to be asked permission every time these companies track you. And so the privacy effort for Apple is being done over there. They say to me that it's going to be a lot easier to get your data from Apple here later in the year.
I thought it was interesting. You pointed out, too, that with Apple, it did not track your Siri inquiries. How come?
Apple has a selling proposition, which is that we don't track you. And we're better than the other guys, and you're safer, and we take your privacy seriously.
Wow.
So their Siri searches, where did I go to eat, how do I get somewhere, et cetera, every question goes back to Apple, but it doesn't say that it came from Gordon. It just said that it comes from a random computer or device.
Wow.
And they make a big deal about the fact that they don't want to track it. When you want to compare getting an iPhone to a Samsung Galaxy, and you want to really think about it, now, Apple's not tracking your searches, though Google is. They're not tracking where you go, what you do. But if you bought a Samsung Galaxy, Google's tracking every step you take on that phone, and so is Samsung. So you're being tracked by two giant companies if you bought one of those phones versus what you get with an iPhone. I think that's pretty stark, and I think most people don't realize the extent of the eyes that are snooping on you.
Right. Do you have the ability to delete all that information?
No, they didn't give me that, but it was so minimal that, I mean, if they want to know how many times I've gotten a device fixed, that really doesn't bother me.
Right, right.
And if they want to know what songs I downloaded, that's fine. You know, it doesn't bother me. When Google tracks every search you've done going back 14 years, yet you've gone into history and you've deleted it, and you've actually done searches in incognito mode to stop them from searching, but they still kept a record of it, that bothers me.
Wow. Is any shot that that's going to get changed?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at the Facebook Developer Conference last week, and I thought this is going to be really interesting. They have a lot to apologize for in front of developers because they're the ones who are doing all the tracking, right? And what did they do? They said, we're going to come out with a dating site. They didn't apologize. They said, we're going to do a dating site. Facebook, the social network that tracks your every move, is now going to say, oh, I like to go on a long walk on the beach, and then you're going to get ads for beach resorts.
Oh boy.
Or whatever, right?
Oh, right.
And that's just all hypothetical. We don't know that that's going to happen. But I thought it was a really ballsy move.
Thanks, Jeff. That's USA Today technology columnist Jefferson Graham. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, there are lots of reasons why your train commute may be delayed on a given morning, ranging from mechanical issues to the always popular signal problems here in the New York, New Jersey area. But rarely does someone falling asleep create this kind of havoc. An intoxicated man's ill-advised decision to spend the night on a freight train caused commuter chaos in Munich yesterday as police had to shut down all traffic at a busy station to look for him. Munich police said they received an emergency call at 5:20 a.m. from a man who said he'd woken up in a container on a train near Munich's third largest train station and couldn't get out. Apparently, the 25-year-old man was so drunk when he entered the container, he wasn't sure where he was. Police shut down all rail traffic and went train to train, eventually finding him about an hour later, but not before causing a huge headache for riders. In total, 86 trains were affected with nearly 1,300 minutes of delays, 37 cancellations, and 21 partial cancellations. The man faces trespassing-related charges.
Man.
So can you imagine the chatter on the train yesterday morning about why we were late to work today because
right.
Some drunk guy fell asleep on a freight train somewhere?
How drunk do you have to be
to fall asleep and not know where you are?
That you hop on a freight train.
Yeah.
Think, this is probably going my way.
This looks cozy.
And then, you know, amidst the cows or pallets of things that are being shipped somewhere.
Right.
Right. You
yeah.
finally get sober enough to call and say, I don't know where I am.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I don't see wow. any other passengers or conductor to take yeah. my ticket or anything
right.
like that. But you know what? I'm just gonna, I'm sure I'll get to the right spot.
Right. Imagine the cops like trying to ask him where he is.
Right.
And there's just echoes of like some, you know, because he's inside some metal container or something like that.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
And we all know, Gordon, that the priorities for college students can differ greatly from those of us who have had a taste of the real world. And here is perhaps a textbook example of that. A group of Georgia Tech students gathered in the school's student center to pay tribute to a Taco Bell eatery that shuttered permanently. A student named William Schertzer filmed video inside the student center's food court showing his fellow students holding a memorial service for the Taco Bell location that shut down permanently last week, complete with the playing of taps. The reason for the Taco Bell's closing was unclear, but students said the eateries inside the student center, including a Chick-fil-A store, remained in operation. Mm. Now, see, that could have been the last straw right there. If the Chick-fil-A closed at the same time as the Taco Bell, that might be grounds for a transfer.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, if I was there, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad that the students at Georgia Tech, by the way, seem to have everything else solved in the world.
Yeah. I mean, it is the end of the year, right?
It is
the end of the semester, you know, graduating, getting ready to head home. So, you know, perhaps things are a little lighter. The workload's a little lighter down there at Georgia Tech right now.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. Time for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a reflection of your company and designed to impress clients for less. Custom printing at Staples. Standout materials equals outstanding results. Staples, it's pro time. Unemployment is lower than it's been in 17 years, but that doesn't necessarily mean teen workers will have an easier time getting a job this summer. In the coming months, the staffing firm Challenger Gray & Christmas expects that summer employment growth will remain stagnant for teens. MarketWatch says overall, far fewer teens are looking for work these days. The labor force participation rate, a measure of the share of people with jobs or looking for employment, was 35% for teens last July. In the year 2000, it was 53%. Also, fewer teens are able to find the types of jobs that were once popular with teen workers, like food service and retail. Many of those jobs are now held by foreign-born adults and older workers. Part of the reason? These workers are viewed as having more appealing behavioral traits and social skills, such as being more likely to show up to work on time or customer interaction. What are kids doing instead? Attending summer classes or doing community service, thought to pad college resumes. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Iran's president is warning that the country could face some problems for 2 or 3 months ahead of President Trump's decision on whether to pull out of its nuclear deal with world powers. Without directly naming Trump, President Rouhani's remarks at a petroleum conference in Tehran represented the first official Iranian comment on Trump's tweet that he'd make an announcement on the deal today. Rouhani also said Iran wants to keep working with the world and constructive engagement with the world. That appeared to be a nod to Europe, which has struck a series of business deals with Iran since the landmark 2015 nuclear deal. New York State top prosecutor, a public champion of the Me Too movement, resigned hours after being accused of physically assaulting 4 women. It's an abrupt fall from power for Eric Schneiderman, the New York Attorney General, and a Donald Trump opponent whose office had launched multiple legal challenges against the Republican administration. 2 of the women told the New Yorker Schneiderman repeatedly hit them, often after drinking, frequently in bed, and never with their consent. The Trump administration plans to take a tougher approach to families who enter the U.S. illegally by separating parents from their children instead of keeping them in detention together. Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
I have no doubt that many of those crossing our border illegally are leaving behind difficult situations. But we cannot take everyone on this planet who is in a difficult situation.
Adults charged with illegal entry will be turned over to U.S. Marshals. Their children will be transferred to the Office of Refugee Resettlement. The NRA says retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, the conservative commentator implicated in the Iran-Contra scandal, will be its new president. NRA CEO Wayne Lee LaPierre called North a legendary warrior for American freedom, a gifted communicator, and skilled leader. A new report from the American Psychiatric Association finds that anxiety levels have increased over the past year, and some generations are feeling it more than others. This year's national anxiety score is 51 on a scale of 0 to 100, a 5-point jump from last year. Participants rated their anxiety in 5 different areas: health, safety, finances, relationships, and politics. Millennials continued to be more anxious than Gen Xers and baby boomers, but baby boomers experienced the greatest increase in anxiety levels.
I'm going to talk to a friend of mine from high school over the weekend. Said he's got, say, 16 children, like, in his family, nieces, nephews, right, the whole bit. He said of them, 8 of them, 9 of them are girls. Half of them have problems like this.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I believe it. Yep.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. When a Cleveland, Tennessee police officer was seen buying groceries for a family at Walmart, a fellow shopper used the power of social media to help identify and thank him. CBS News says in a Facebook post, an unnamed bystander wrote about the incident, giving props to the police department. They eventually were able to figure out that it was Mike Kelly, a school resource officer working security at Walmart, when he noticed a familiar face online, saw the man's card get declined, and jumped in to help. He told local reporters, "I just felt God was telling me, just go help him." Officer Kelly said he paid for the groceries to encourage others to do random acts of kindness. Cleveland, Tennessee, by the way, is about 170 miles southeast of Nashville, near the Georgia border. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.